Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in YouTube is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is This Week in YouTube, episode 15, recorded July 22nd, 2013. We're losing attitude. This episode of This Week in YouTube is brought to you by ProXBN. ProXBN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymous and unfiltered. For 20% off your new account, go to proxbn.com/twit and use the offer code TWIYT. Hello and welcome to This Week in YouTube. I'm Chad Johnson, but as we always have, every single week, the wonderful, the talented, the great Lamar Wilson is here.
Oh, hello. I'm just drinking water with my pinky up.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm being very British right now because of the baby. Yeah.
Because of the what?
The baby.
Oh, yes, the baby.
Yes, the royal baby.
That's funny.
Cheerio.
Everyone is so excited about...
I do not care.
I was on the phone with my mother, and she goes, oh, and it's a boy. And I was like...
That could have freaked you out in multiple ways.
I was like, what? What are we talking about? And then she was like, you know, the baby is a boy. And I was like, is someone in my family pregnant that I didn't know...
Yeah.
Why? Like, there's no context. And so there needs, like, what's the reason that I don't have context? This is definitely something I should have known. It just turns out I'm just not up on pop culture. So, yes, the royal baby is a boy. But I'm glad to know that we're being British today. I didn't prepare.
Well, no, it's fine.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Because I'm over it now.
Right.
I'm like a true American.
Right. Perfect. Well, yes. how have you been? How's it going down in L.A.?
Everything's pretty good. Everybody abandoned me last week because of Comic-Con, and I didn't get on it for last year. You know, you got to do it like a year in advance to book everything. And I had just moved here last year. Matter of fact, this week will mark my 1 year anniversary here in LA.
Oh, wow.
I think this Friday is when I drove in was my 1 year. So that is kind of cool. It's been a lot of reflection of good and bad and how I've been here in LA and working with YouTube and all of that. But yeah, it's kind of nice. Like, again, it was kind of a boring weekend because all of my friends were down in San Diego for the Comic-Con. Oh, and I was up here crying by myself.
I have a question. Do you think that moving down to L.A. really helped?
Oh yeah. As far as being part of that YouTube community, being connected with things, even having things that didn't work out for me, I never would have had those experiences had I not been here. I think at my level and what I'm trying to do is critical to be around people who do what I do, especially at my age, because there's, you know, when I was in Chicago, there just was no one except Wheezy Waiter, who's a YouTuber, who was doing what I was doing. He was always busy. So it really wasn't anybody to connect with. And, you know, you can only Skype so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having somebody come and hang out my house and we eat pizza or we just have dinner. We talk about our jobs.
And there's a big, huge difference. This is why if people are really trying to get into an industry or into YouTube, meeting someone face-to-face, there's a connection that happens that's really hard to explain. But once you've actually met someone in person, I can trust you more. I mean, not just me, but it just seems like everyone can trust each other more. I really think that that's a huge benefit.
I mean, it's huge. There's some YouTubers who I've known for a few years, but it wasn't until I was here, they're like, hey, let's hang out. I mean, to have iJustine come, you know, a day before, okay, say, hey, let me come by your house and we'll do a couple of videos.
Right.
You know, YouTube videos.
Right. And you live in a studio apartment, so yes, the camera was in the bedroom, but...
Yeah, exactly.
I mean...
But there's no getting around that joke.
Right.
But it's nice, and just those opportunities, you know, we text, or I text other YouTubers, say, hey, what you doing? You know, are you going to this? You want to do this weekend? So being here, my 1 year reflection is definitely worth it. I'm excited about some new changes. I got some new management now that I'm working with, and they're really hyped about me, you know, contributing, you know, to them and to YouTube in my second year here. So I think this second year would be a lot better.
Yeah. And ever since the YouTube creator space, do you feel like that was also a nice help that that's located down there?
I think it's good that it's here. Mm-hmm. It hasn't, for the kind of videos I've been doing, there's been no need for me to be there, but I'm trying to find a way to work with them. But yeah, it's nice. And I've been there for several events, and I couldn't see any other city to have that in, because this is where, this is the YouTube hub.
Yeah.
At least in the States. And there's one in London and one somewhere else. But yeah, it's awesome having that here. Absolutely.
Yeah, cool.
And all the YouTube networks, for the most part, are here. So, like, if I need to go talk to somebody, I can actually go face-to-face, like you were saying, versus sending an email and hoping they respond back to me. I can actually go up to the office.
Right, right. And just be like, I'm here. You can't get rid of me. I won't leave the building.
I've done that.
Until I talk to someone. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get into our first story. It seems like some of the subscription partners that we talked about a few weeks ago that are allowing the paid subscription model, where you pay per month to be able to view their content. Mm-hmm. Sesame Street was a big partner, and there were a few others.
National Geographic Kids.
And, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at UFC Unleashed right here. That it seems like they're not getting enough viewers to actually lay down the money to subscribe to their channels.
Yeah, and my immediate response was, you think?
Duh.
Yeah. That was my tweet that I was like, you think, does this really surprise you?
No, I mean.
It introduced this model that is just, it was failed. It was set to be doomed from the start. I can't even talk today. That's how doomed it is.
I mean, how long ago was it that they released this too? I mean, it only seems like 2 months ago. Like, it seems like they didn't even give it that hard of a try. And yeah. I haven't seen any promotion on YouTube or anything. Like, I knew about it, but I don't think that there's been any word of anything other than word of mouth said about this.
I haven't heard of it outside of, you know, and I'm here in the space.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard of it. Also, haven't seen any ads about any of the channels. Not one channel have I seen promoted to me. So I think there's a problem on that end. But just in general, people, as I will say this again, don't come to YouTube to pay to watch stuff. The way you do it is you embed ads like we do. You know, you do some product placement, you have the regular ads. And I understand, that's an old model and they're looking for a new model. I just don't see this being a long-term success. Sesame Street was the only one to have said that they're happy with their success. So yeah. We don't know if they're just saying they're happy because, hey, it's PBS anyway. They're just extra funds. They're already covered by grants.
Well, I also wonder if perhaps Sesame Street actually did advertisements. I don't watch Sesame Street or PBS, so I actually don't know. But if they ran a few ads a week that just said, by the way, check out the YouTube channel. You can go to youtube.com/blah, blah, blah and pay, you know, X amount for on-demand Sesame Street. I mean, as a parent, seeing an ad like that, that would be very, very entertaining. I mean, that would be very interesting for me to go check that out later.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I'm not surprised at this. I'm not going to be such a pessimist and say, I'll try to be optimistic and say, you know, this could have some success if it's introduced the right way. But I don't know what the right way is. I mean, first of all, you got to tell people about it. Right. I think 99% of the public don't know that this is an option. But if they do, my worry, Chad, is that then the word subscription gets muddled. Yeah. When we tell people to subscribe, I've been saying that from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I've told them that. Even though the buttons are different, it doesn't matter. If I say in my video, and subscribe for the latest content, subscribe. Oh, I don't want to pay.
Yeah.
I still think they need to change that to follow.
And it's been 3 months. In May, they released the original 30 channels. Absolutely. Now, it's also funny you mentioned that this is an old business model. And truly, like, if you look at the internet companies that are releasing for pay services, you may look at something like the newest and most innovative stuff would be Kickstarter,
Indiegogo,
mm-hmm. Yeah, things like that. And it looks like, it doesn't even look like this is what is happening, is the Vlogbrothers have sort of responded to the subscription model with a pay what you want Humble Bundle almost style subscription service where you pay what you want, you get the subscription that you want, and there's even, I mean, it looks like in the background of this thumbnail, like a little thing saying, hey, like to keep this project going, we need to reach so much of a funding goal so that this can, so that this can sustain this, this context, this content.
And it's an, it's interesting. No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, just, it seems like this is exactly what YouTube should have done from the beginning is we're a community. Like, let the community get behind a channel and really help support it from the ground up.
Yeah, I really agree. I mean, I like this model. You know, creators, you know, post their project. Fans can subscribe and give whatever they choose. It's a, because some people have the means to give 100. Some people have the means to give 1. But it you know, whatever they give, it endears them to that project. Now they're invested into that YouTuber or into that creator. And so I think this is a great idea. It's funny because Hank Green, one of the Vlogbrothers, few days prior made this video, kind of. He thanked YouTube for what they've done, but kind of slammed them at the same time for not innovating. So, the video kind of went around the YouTube. Everybody saw it.
Yeah.
And it was, and little did we know, it was a precursor to.
Yeah, it was him very satirical. Like, yeah. Good. Great on you, YouTube, for.
Yeah. 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 And I respect them. They're one of the pioneers of vlogging. I have utmost respect for them. I think if anybody was to do this, it would have to be someone respected like them,
yes,
to launch something like this, because they have a core community. One thing they also told me is that they have an email list, which I've been considering trying to get up and as a way to you know, connect with your most hardcore fans.
Yeah,
and so I like this idea a lot. What type of, like, if you had a project, I'm putting you on the spot here.
Okay,
if you had a project, what kind of project would you send to this? I know it wouldn't be like your everyday Minecraft videos, like,
and it truly, like, this brings up a good point: is the format of the video needs to be different than daily vlogs. So it would almost have to be a special build sort of project that also has a start date and an end date. In my opinion, it seems like the model that they're going for could be a monthly drive that. To fulfill the month's need, you could have a continuously ongoing project. But I think for me, it would make a lot more sense to do something like, listen, we're going to build this thing, or I'm going to teach you, like, I'm going to teach you how to get started with podcasting. We're going to get all the equipment. We're going to set it all up. We're going to try to keep it as cheap as possible. And I'm also going to talk to you about finding a niche, keeping a niche, making sure that your brand is marketable, that you'll have Google ability. I mean, those sorts of things seems like something that I would be best at.
No, that is you need to do that. I'm being serious because I don't know. I get a lot of messages, and you may too from this show.
Yeah,
about how do we get started in podcasting? And it's not my specialty because I don't have to do any of the back end things. Even on my last podcast, my friend did all the back end, and I was just the pretty face.
Right.
So, like I am here. Well, no, now you are actually. I think that'll be huge. I think you should really consider that.
Right. And that's just one. I mean, truly, that might. I haven't even seen the finished product because in this video that Hank put up, it's more just kind of detailing the style and the feel of what he's talking about. He's talking about, you know, in order to get paid via YouTube stuff, you need to be popular. That's why you saw the cat video. And that sometimes there's content that cannot be sustained based off of view counts alone. There is stuff that people want and will pay for, which is what YouTube was aiming for.
Right.
But this context of pay what you want, pay what you can, and even an option for absolutely free, if you can't pay for it, here's the content. Please share and maybe try to get someone else to pay for it. You know, this makes so much sense.
It brings out the best in people because, you know, I know there's some artists, and maybe the chat room where you can tell me, I know there's some artists who did this model. They'll come out with an album and, you know, it'll have so many songs on it, and they'll put it on their website and they say, hey, you know, pay what you want, or you can just take it for yourself. And you really see the good in people. A lot of people, you know, didn't just take it and run. They gave them a few bucks for it, or they gave them a lot of money for it because they appreciated it. Or they at least shared the link to, as you said, so someone else can do it. And I thought that was the chairman says Radiohead is one of those that did that.
Yeah. And Bandcamp. Bandcamp as a service is built around that. It's pay what you want music. And truly, it's like, why didn't we think about, like, now that you mentioned, like, oh, the music industry's been doing this for a while. It's like, why didn't the video industry look at what the music industry did?
Music industry has not done it. The individuals have been fighting music industry to independence. Because the music industry wants to keep all the money for themselves. Unfortunately, like the video industry does. So we have to have this. And I've been saying for at least 6 months or so why we don't just have even a donate button with Google Checkout, because, you know, they won't use PayPal.
Yeah.
Fine. Google Checkout thing, or it's just a little small button that's just an option. If you want to support this creator further, you know, if Google just is greedy and just wants to take a fee out of that, fine. But I think, because there's people who message me and do all the time, is like, you know, hey, is there a way I could donate? I refuse because I was like, I feel weird.
Yeah.
You know, since it's not a regular thing that everybody can do. I was like, I feel weird taking money from someone who just wants to donate to help me out. But, you know, some people just want to help. They can't watch every day, right?
Yeah.
Like your Minecraft stuff is top notch. They can't watch every day. But hell, maybe they want to give $50 to the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Of you making better content.
And this service also, like you said before, it really taps into the people who can pay well. They're like, especially when I get content that I love, I feel obligated to really give back a lot of the times because I'm very lucky with you know, how my life is. And so I could just, you know, give back. Now, there's a great article on TechCrunch talking about the art and science of YouTube networks and sort of talking about sort of diving into what the YouTube networks are, sort of, you know, it even talks about, like, you know, this is kind of a new phenomenon. It talks a lot about Machinima, Maker, Full Screen, things like that. Mm-hmm. And talks a little bit about where the industry is headed, talking a lot about how long form really didn't work in the beginning. And now there's kind of a bigger push towards long form. What do you think about this article? Do you have any points that you want to?
Yeah, I do. And just a disclaimer, I've been with, you know, over my YouTube career, a few networks. And so I've gotten to see different aspects of them, you know, during that time. And one thing that they just recently did is that a couple of years ago, they were focusing more on CPMs, you know, the cost per view and all that. And now, and so, like, they will offer you, here, we'll lock you into a $2 or $4 CPM, and you'll get this guaranteed money. What happened was, over time, YouTube raised the CPM. So if you're locked in one, then you're obviously frustrated that you're not making the same money as your friend is. So they recently dropped that model. And what they're working on is the first two points are, they're really focusing more on collaboration, coordination, getting you connected with other YouTubers so you can help build each other's audiences. And it mentions old, good old-fashioned Hollywood production, where they really want people to be brands. And that's a much better deal. You know, if they can connect me with brands and I could do some big brand deals, that's way more valuable than a little CPM bump or secure. And I, you know, obviously YouTube gets paid off CPM. That should just kind of be the base money, the real money or the real value.
Reason you're letting them take a part of your ad sales is because they could provide that service.
They can provide those extra services that I normally would not be able to get because some of these companies, I can't reach on my own. You have to have a representative. Just like anybody in Hollywood, you can't just walk in independent. You need an agent. An agent has to make that call. It's very, very rare that you can just walk in on your own. So you have to be prepared to you know, to invest, basically give up that 10% or whatever it is, and you get a lot more opportunities given to you if you do.
And I just wanted to briefly touch on, if you are unsure what we're talking about with networks, what a network does is when you join YouTube, you're just really joining YouTube. You can just post videos. Once you get to a certain amount of views or revenue, either a network will come to you, or you could go to a network and ask to join their network. When you join that network, what happens is they take over your AdSense account. So the way that you get paid from YouTube via their ad platform, they take that over.
And just to jump in real quick,
yeah.
Typically, because they take over the ads, they can offer higher CPMs or just higher paying ads because they're specializing in certain verticals and things like that. So
what they would do is they don't just take over the ads and resell what Google was doing. They may actually insert ads that Google doesn't even have because they have a conversation with a company that really wants to put in extra ads. They Machinima specializes in video games, so they focus on that market. So companies like, you know, Razer, well, let me not use any companies just because I don't know, you know, who has anything with what, and I don't want to act like I do. But another game style company would go to them before they really go to Google, because they want to specifically target that market. And there's a chance that they could sell higher priced ads than Google can. So what is it in there for the network? Well, the network takes a percentage of your ads, or there's very different. This is all based off of contracts, and there's no one God contract that anyone uses. So all of this can be changed. And then they offer services. And from taking some of your money as a network, the services that they offer are maybe collaborations. What you were saying was introductions to other companies, that sort of thing.
One of the biggest things is, it's mentioned in an article about verticals. A lot of them now are trying to fine tune even more, like the network Big Frame. They have a few verticals like Wonderly, which is for kind of like geeky women. They have an urban one. They have one for gay and lesbian. They have that vertical, you know, and so they can optimize ads or optimize audiences for that. Fullscreen has a tech vertical where they have their tech people, and so ads can be optimized for those verticals. So you have the network, but increasingly you're going to start to see micro networks within the network,
right?
And they're called something else, and that is to help fine tune. So that way, they're not doing YouTube over again. Because imagine if someone as big as Fullscreen or Awesome as TV just start giving blanket ads. They're no better than YouTube is, because that's what YouTube does. They just do mass ads. They're not targeting really, you know, those ads at all, because there's so many people.
So I have a question. Yeah. This weekend I was at a convention called PlayOnCon, and there was a lot of other large Minecrafters, and we started talking about sort of the future of YouTube and where it was heading. And I brought up networks, saying that what if in the future these YouTube networks that we are just like, they are, most of them are less than 2 years old in their creation, which is no time at all in company time, right? Mm-hmm. What if these networks morph or evolve into what we see today with CBS, NBC, Fox, where they are these powerhouses that control tons of content. And I'm just going to go ahead and say the other argument. The other side of this argument is, well, YouTube was based off of this distributed, anyone can enter in a video, anyone with an internet connection and a webcam can make a YouTube video. And so some folks' arguments were, this will always be distributed. My comment back was, these networks will at one point control tons of power and tons of resources, and they'll have their own studios. They will, like, the YouTube makerspace is just the first step. Do you feel like the future of YouTube and most, I mean, YouTube is a huge portion of internet media. Do you feel like this might be the biggest future, that these are the new internet mega corporations?
100%. The Maker Studios, Fullscreen, Big Frame, all of these are vying to be the next big thing. One thing that you're seeing, though, that kind of skews it a little bit that maybe we didn't consider, was that who was the first one? So Ultimus TV. No, we'll go back to Revision 3. Mm-hmm. Revision 3 was bought by who? Discovery Network. Huge network TV mm-hmm. thing. So mm-hmm. so they actually bought the network. Ultimus TV, which actually has the most YouTubers at a crazy 50,000 plus.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Which at that point, I'm just like, you can't do anything with that. Like, no, seriously. No. Yeah.
But it looked good to DreamWorks.
Right.
So they grabbed them. And so I think what you're going to see is there are some networks that are small and niche who want to be bought by someone bigger, because then they can have more resources to kind of make this big mega thing like they're doing at Revision 3. And you have some who want to, I think like Maker, they want to be their own powerhouse. They want to be that next big thing that's out there just as good as YouTube. You can go upload to YouTube, but we have these services that YouTube doesn't. And I think you're gonna see both of those. I wasn't expecting the networks being bought. That kind of threw me for a loop when I started.
Which really, I think that these networks are gonna get so big that they're gonna know that their future is going to be bigger than Fox. That the audience is constantly going to move over to the internet, and that their future will end up being the next television. We're going to see the death. I mean, truly, I don't think we're ever going to see the death of television.
No, no, no.
I think it'll be like movies, where everyone thought that TV was going to kill movies. No, there's totally a market, and there's no reason that that's going to die.
Radio's still around. It's not going anywhere.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this future that is growing up right now, there's no reason that they're ever going to move off of the internet onto television. So, cool. I just wanted to put that out there, put that in your mind.
I think it was an excellent point to put in. Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Great. Well, now it is time to thank our sponsor for this episode of This Week in YouTube, ProXBN. ProXBN is a virtual private network that keeps all of your internet safe and secure the way it should be. Basically, ProXBN is a tunnel that you send all of your internet traffic down. It keeps it encrypted. It keeps it safe from prying eyes so that you don't have to worry about who's looking in on your internet activity. It keeps your internet anonymous and unfiltered the way it should be. On top of that, ProXBN offers things like keeping your internet completely region free. You're allowed to tunnel in to servers that are based in the US, UK, Asia, and more, so you can bypass stupid geographical restrictions that really shouldn't have been placed on the internet in the first place. You can also protect yourself against your own ISP's six strikes rule to make sure that really they are not looking at what you are doing. So keep your personal internet usage private any place. True. You can keep it private at work when you're using internet hotspots. Say you need to go to a coffee shop and use their Wi-Fi. Well, now you can browse securely and safely with ProXBN. So, if you want to go check out a little bit more information about ProXBN, head on over to proxbn.com/twit for more information, and you can sign up there. ProXBN premium accounts normally cost $9.95 a month or $74.95 for an entire year, but we have a special offer for you to use. So when you check out, use offer code TWIYT, that's TWIYT, and you will receive 20% off of the lifetime of your account. This isn't a silly like month offer. This is the lifetime of your account. You'll get 20% off. Of course, if you are not satisfied, you can cancel within 7 days and get a full refund. Seriously, that is less than $5 a month if you get the yearly plan. So head on over to proxbn.com/twit and use the offer code TWIYT for 20% off at checkout. And we thank ProXBN for their support of our show This Week in YouTube and of the entire Twit network. Thank you so, so much. Okay, let's get into some viral videos. You ready for it?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Especially this first one, because I'm taking full credit for making this viral. Okay. And I normally don't do that, but I found this video. It had like 2,000 or 3,000 views, and I pushed it out to all my network, and then a few days later, it blew up. So I'm just saying, and there were some notable people who retweeted it or who reshared it from me.
Okay, so after being gone for 6 months, puppy.
Yeah, the guy was in the military.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Puppy hasn't seen him in 6 months, and...
Oh my gosh.
Can't even get up the stairs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, Chad, will a cat do this?
I know.
Yeah?
I know.
Well, no, she'll be like, oh, you're home. Oh, that's nice. Thanks for coming home, I guess.
The dog is literally, like, talking to him.
Aww.
It just, like, I'm not going to lie. When I saw this, there was almost a tear shed. I will admit it. Because it gets worse. When he goes to the couch, I literally almost, like, lose it. This dog
He won't even let him down. He's just like, you're here. You are here. I thought you were dead.
And then he starts.
Oh, my gosh. See, I don't know. I'm like, that dog's going to go pee everywhere because he's so excited. Like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
He's literally just saying, I'm so glad you're home. Do you know what this woman has done to me for 6 months? Where have you been?
You picked me up from the pound and then you left me. He's actually really upset, actually, that he's home. He's yelling at him. I think there's a different story here.
No. That tail is shaking. The dog, he later says, the dog, why are you shaking? It's type of love. Wow. Is that happy to see his owner?
Okay. Well, that's pretty cute. I gotta admit.
I'm just saying, when your cat does this, I want it on film.
Okay. The next time that I'm gone for a weekend, we'll see what we can get. We'll try. I'm not going to promise anything, but still.
Well, we have another dog video, don't we?
We do. Well, it's a little bit different twist on the dog theme at the moment. So your friend and mine, actually, I don't think he's either of our friends, but...
And he knows who I am.
Yeah. So this is actually a video from Kevin Rose, and this just exploded. So I had to go ahead and throw it in the dock. And he was actually here on Sunday explaining what happened. There's a little bit of a text intro explaining that he heard his dog at 1 a.m. fighting a raccoon. So we have video footage from his house of this fight happening. So you can see his dog and this raccoon. There's no audio. And then Kevin Rose comes out of nowhere, runs down the stairs. And I'm like, at this point, it's like he's going to kick the raccoon. He's gonna, I don't know, spray the raccoon with some a can of spray. I don't know what's gonna happen. He goes down, he pulls the raccoon off the dog and tosses him down the stairs, and then runs after the raccoon as if to like continue to beat him up or something like that.
Cool. So keep playing it because we have the best angle.
The best thing is that there's another angle to this. I didn't realize it was as long. So Kevin Rose comes down, picks up the raccoon, and then you can see him fly down.
Yeah, the raccoon, like, you see those eyes, it's like, damn you.
There's this.
Damn you, Kevin.
And you can even see, like, there's, like, fur, like, flying off of the raccoon from the dog. And then, like, oh, my gosh. This has, of course, exploded.
Yes.
On Tumblr, it hit the front page of Reddit.
Yeah, this part is a gift, a gift that's over and over and over and over.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So
and I saw it this weekend, and like I said in a pre-show, I just did not put it together that it was Kevin until I saw an article, and I was like, that was Kevin Rose that did that. I mean, that's pretty bad. To go and try and grab a wild raccoon who's in that heat of attack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kevin, Dwight Silverman said it best on Twitter. He goes, how many times has the word rabies been said to you in the last week? And Kevin was like, more than you know. More than you know. So, yeah. Anyway, I just had to point that out. And that definitely became absolutely viral.
Yeah. Yeah. He uploaded himself. I was like, that's awesome. Only Kevin can upload his own video and get punked.
Okay. So explain this next video to me. What are we about to watch?
I do want to explain this one. Okay.
Okay.
So we've had this phenomenon of, you know, the Rebecca Black phenomenon when you come out with now hers was not an intentional bad song. And then the song itself wasn't necessarily bad. It was just kind of just the lyrics.
I mean, it was also like a gift. It was never supposed to go big.
Yeah, it was a silly little video, but it got big. And what it ended up spawning are these other teenage girls doing bad songs with the hope that they are so bad that they go viral.
Right. Sometimes it's from the same production company.
Yeah.
That made,
yes. They do it purposely.
Yeah.
I remember the one that I got on CNN for parodying was hot, it was like something about hot girls have Hot Problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Hot Girls, We Have Problems Too, just like you, except we're hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like last year's thing.
Yeah.
And it was dumped purposely and it got viral. So this one is the latest one called Mass Text.
Mass Text. Look at that depth of field, though. It's pretty good.
It's beautiful. This is going to be a good video. I can tell right now.
So we've been talking for a while, and I thought we were cool. Did I miss something? Why did I get your mass text? I'm in your contacts.
Oh, my God.
Why did I get your mass text? I'm in your contacts. Why did I get your mass text? I'm in your contacts.
The music is just bad. Like,
I'm in your contacts.
That was her voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. It's not even like Friday was like catchy.
No, this is done deliberately now. Because look how many dislikes it has. It has like
not enough. Not enough dislikes.
Yeah. What is the ratio right now?
I can't even parse that.
Not just read because I can't see it.
Oh, that's 1,355 likes to 20,167 dislikes. So at least 1/20, if not more.
Yeah, so I put this in here because I want to have a little discussion of this because I didn't have a show the last time the other one came out. Is this the future of music, putting out bad crap just to get noticed?
I think it's the future of viral video grabs because we would see these viral videos that would try to go viral, and they would always have like the previous big viral videos stuff in them. Like when Charlie Bit My Finger, you'd see like two British kids doing something, with Chocolate Rain, it was like, let's sing. Well, I guess, you know, there has been a thread throughout all the viral videos of some sort of music.
Mm-hmm.
Let's sing, you know, and what was the other one? Leave Britney Alone Kid. We saw
Leave Britney Alone, Star Wars Kid.
Yeah. And then we saw lots of Antoine Dotson, like, knockoffs that, like, let me get on the news and yell and be really loud.
And those have become a thing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just think that this is another copycat in a line of copycats. But I don't know. I mean,
you know what this made me think, dude? It just popped in my head. You have the production studio Asylum, right?
Right.
The ones who make the Sharknado.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. And they purposely make bad movies. They make them so bad that they're good.
Yeah. No, it's a movie that you expect that when you're drunk at a friend's party and everyone's like, well, what should we watch? And no one wants to watch anything serious because everyone's going to talk over the movie anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want something to look at and point at and go, wow, that's stupid. Oh, we're drunk. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
that's what Sharknado is.
And yeah, and that one, and like they always do spoofs off real movies, like what was that movie?
Miss Castaway is the movie you're thinking of. We found this was just a total inside joke. We found Miss Castaway in a Walmart bargain bin for $1, and it has Michael Jackson in it. It has the first Bachelor from, Miss Castaway and the Island Girls. Let me just find an image of this for you. There's just too much here. I don't know if we should watch the Agent Michael Jackson in Miss Castaway or the behind the scenes or the trailer.
Oh, let's do the trailer.
Okay, trailer. Here we go. The trailer, unfortunately, is 2.5 minutes long, so we're probably not going to be able to watch all of it. You know what? Let's just skip to the middle. I don't even know.
We're losing attitude!
Attitude? Castaways
on a deserted island.
Hello? No, I'm sorry. You have the wrong number. No.
Yeah, so anyway, the comedic timing and length of this video was definitely way off. Anyway, you were going to say something about – so I completely took that derailed it.
No, it's fine. I was thinking of that movie where the world ended because of like an ice age came. I forgot what it was called. It was the legit movie, but like Asylum – May 1, like, you know, called Ice something. It was a knockoff of it. But that's what they specialize in. They make the knockoffs. And like they're bad, but they're good. And the thing is I have friends who are in the bad ones.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I enjoy watching them.
You know, that's a good point. Maybe there is a market for bad knockoffs of other viral videos.
Yeah. So going back to YouTube, there may be a thing here.
Yeah. I like it.
We should. So I hope someone does a bad knockoff of this show.
Yes. Called This Week in Daily Motion. And it'll have some guy with blue hair. Yeah. And
This Week in MySpace Video.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That'll be great.
How dare they? It'll be a black guy with red hair and a white guy with black hair.
Yes. Absolutely.
Awesome.
I've beaten that joke to death. Okay. Do you have a tip for us this week, sir?
I was thinking of our conversation earlier about networks and representation. And it really made me realize that a lot of us who came on YouTube and, you know, but even you back in the day didn't come on with the expectation of, hey, this is going to be my job. This is going to be a business. But, you know, it's starting to. And look, what better job to have than something that you love or a hobby?
Yeah.
I mean, so no one should fault you for wanting to make a living off. If you can make a living off it, do it. You know, as long as you're not selling out, as long as you're, pushing products that
there's
you believe
always,
in.
Yeah, if with any commercial venture, there's always taste. Any company can fall into the trope of not having good taste and overcharging or something.
Right. You pick the right things. So, you know, coming into YouTube now, I would say any company or anybody who wants to do it, you almost have to think about the business side. I mean, it's because YouTube is not designed for you to broadcast yourself anymore. That's why they took that out of the logo. Mm-hmm. It really is becoming a different model. So, you know, as we get into this business side, it's really important that unless you're business savvy yourself to look at some other representation, you do not have to join a network till you need to, you know, but, you know, get a mentor, get somebody who understands or an agent on the other side who understands this business lingo, who kind of wade you through this process. Cause it's scary if you don't have anybody to help you. I choose, you know, to have network representation because of where I'm trying to go and, you know, where our goals are kind of aligned. Or they're very aligned, actually, with what I'm trying to do. So, you know, they're, you know, paying a fee is not a big deal because the hope is I make more than that fee. Well, I would never see the fee.
Right.
Because they're helping me make a living, right, which, again, no one should fault you for. So, yeah, if you're interested in YouTube now, definitely get more educated about the business side. Don't be scared of the idea of getting some representation.
Yeah.
Or at least looking into it.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't inherently think the networks are bad.
Right.
I think people have bad deals because they jumped in too soon.
And they didn't research, like you're saying.
They didn't research. I think some people don't challenge the contract because, you know, the first contract is always going to be a bad one. Mm-hmm. So you have to negotiate like, no, I want this. And you usually get what you want if they see you have potential. So, yeah, just, you know, get some people to help you with it. But, yeah, it's becoming a business. We can't escape it. It is what it is. It is not like 2007. We kind of have to get over that. Mm-hmm. And I think we'd be better for it if we just educate ourselves a little bit better. So that's my tip of the week.
Perfect. Love it.
What are you working on? I beat you.
I
don't want to talk back to back. Uh-huh.
You got me. So this last week, this weekend was crazy busy because I did go to a convention and spent lots of time and had a ton of fun, and also a lot of like networking time was spent talking to people about where the future is going, especially in the Minecraft industry. There was a lot of Minecrafters there, so that was an awful lot of fun. But last week was kind of a normal just Let's Play video week. So if you check out the channel, it is full of Cube World videos and Minecraft videos. And I'm trying something new. I'm trying to do the Cube World every day of the week. It's not getting that great of traction. And it might just be because
is hard to get traction. I've experienced that.
Yeah, and the last thing I put up was the pajama vlog, which I actually think wasn't quite out last video, but it's just a basic vlog, so you can go and check that out. But other than that, it's been a lot of like head game, thinking about the future, what am I going to do,
same
sort
here.
Of thing.
So here's what I suggest for you. Uh-huh. It's just coming from a professional.
No, please, yeah.
You're doing these pajama vlogs. What you have to do, you got to have your thumbnail with you like on a with your pajamas on a bearskin rug, just kind of clawing. You know, do like
that's
some,
a good.
Yeah, and you know, have a fireplace behind you.
Okay.
You know, because then your hair will illuminate
like
with that.
A little wine glass, maybe.
Exactly.
Okay. With some apple juice in
just,
it.
Just make it like look real sexy.
Okay.
And I guarantee you. You will have the exact audience that you do not want to have.
Yeah, no, right. That's good. And I don't think that's against YouTube's terms of service. I think that's really great. Anyway, what have you been up to this last week?
Oh, man. So, yeah, again, a lot of my friends went to Comic-Con, so I was just here alone and didn't get a chance to go. But I did a review of a gaming laptop, which people was like, you're not a gamer. Why did they send this to you? I was like, because I'm awesome.
Right.
So I reviewed the Razer Blade Pro, the 17-inch.
I got to see that at E3.
I haven't
watched your video. How'd you like it?
I liked it a lot. You know, I liked it enough where I wanted to keep it. Like I would have strongly considered using Windows from now on had I been able to keep it. But it was a review unit. It was really awesome. It was really smooth. I played a few games on it. I love that the trackpad they have on the right side, it's like an LED screen.
Oh wow!
They have on it. So it's
even looks cool.
Yeah, the box is cool. Everything was cool. Now I gotta say they're great people because what happened is I did have to send it back.
Yeah.
But they were like, I did a Instagram of me crying holding the box saying I have to send it back. So they emailed me and said, oh, we felt so bad for you. We're gonna send you a keyboard and some headphones or something like that. So that was nice because. They can't afford to let me keep a $2,500.
Yeah, I know.
Nor would I have. I would have felt bad. So that happened this weekend and this week. What I tried today was a regular video combined with a vlog style while I'm outside. I did this before, where I start a video in one location and then I'm progressively completing the video in different locations. And
like
then I
every
kinda...
jump cut is you're like more inside.
yeah, every single jump cut I'm in a different. No, it's not that crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I got out the house. The audience has been saying get out the house, so I did that, and people like it so far. It's doing pretty well today. It was actually about you. What tech motivates you? And mine was I use tech to motivate me to work out because otherwise I will not do it. So I talked about the Kinect. I talked about workout videos on YouTube. Like there's an app on my Galaxy S4 for like tracking your walking, stuff like that. So it turned out to be a really good video. I want to do more of that. I'm sitting here deciding whether this week I'm going to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but I'm deciding whether daily has a future for me anymore. Because I think what's happening, and you might see this with your daily videos, that I'm working harder, but not necessarily working smarter.
Yeah.
And it might be better to let the videos breathe, have a day to breathe in between to let more people see them. Mm-hmm. I think what happens with daily videos is that you do the video, it's a good video, but you do another one so quickly that it gets pushed away and then enough people don't see it.
Right. And you, there's also kind of a, I don't want to really spam every single social account I have with a video every single day. And you get burnt out so much faster.
Yep.
I mean, I'm finding that, like, it is very difficult to keep up. I don't think it's harder when you are not actually making videos like me and you are every day because you kind of look at it and go, oh, I'm sure making a video isn't that difficult. But there's so much time, the thinking, the shooting, the editing, the uploading.
It's a lot just put into it.
And then the
biggest part is the marketing.
And marketing and photoshopping thumbnails and choosing blah, blah, blah. And if you're doing it right, if you're going to just shoot something, put it up, auto-upload it from your phone, different story.
Different story entirely.
Different story. When you're really trying to hit that professional, as good as you can get at market, you almost need a team at that point to make sure that it can go up daily.
So I'm experimenting to see that, see if the, you know, the views increase because, you know, YouTube is not sending all of my videos to all my subscribers. They're just not. I have almost 200,000. They've already admitted it. It's just not possible for them to do that.
Yeah.
So I have to build up my social networks a lot faster. So I made a new Facebook like page because I never had a like page. I had a follow on my personal, and that was really glitchy. So I made a like page, and I'm trying to do some other creative things to get audiences involved. I may do an email list. But yeah, you have to kind of do these kind of side things to get your videos to have some traction, because it's so hard nowadays, man.
Yeah. Okay, so let's briefly talk about next week.
Yeah.
I am lucky in that my parents are going to be coming into town next week. I'm going to spend the whole week camping. And, well, I haven't seen them in 6 months. So it's been, it's just that at that time where you're just like, yeah, man, I'm really hoping to see some family. And then that week will pass and that'll be gone for another 6 months and I won't feel that way.
Okay.
But that means that I'm going to be taking some vacation on Monday. So we're actually going to move the recording of this show to Sunday. So if you're someone who likes
just to watch this Sunday,
just this Sunday. Mm-hmm. So if you're a person who likes to watch the show live, make sure you head on over just a day earlier to Sunday after Twit. I believe 7 o'clock was when we had decided.
Six. I'm flexible. It doesn't matter.
Check the calendar and the Twitter because we will tweet about it. But yes, it will be recorded 24 hours in advance. But
most downloaders won't know the difference.
You won't know the difference. It'll probably come out at the same time because I don't think we'll have editor time to get it up early. But other than that, thank you so much for watching this episode of This Week in YouTube. That's all we have for you. If you would like to subscribe to get all of our future shows, you can head right on over to twit.tv/YT. And that is where you will get all of our show notes pages. Look, we are...
Best place to go.
We're on episode 15, so you can watch all of the previous episodes, all the way back to episode 0. We did that so well. And there's even a button to subscribe on YouTube or subscribe to audio, subscribe to video in all the different formats. So head right on over there to check that out. Please subscribe or go check out the archives. We do tend to record every Monday at around 5 p.m. Pacific. But of course, next week will be a little bit different, and we already covered that. So thank you so much for watching This Week in YouTube. Me and Lamar will see you next episode.
Have a good week.
Bye. Watch my videos. Woo!
And Chance.
Yeah.